The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
D Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee. So, I'm sure all of you out there who have followed the World Cup in some form are familiar with Freddy, the random German dude who has spent the past month touring our beautiful country. He disappeared from X for a little while because I guess people were like being mean to him or something. But he reactivated his account. And today he happens to be here in Nashville. And here's something I learned. Apparently, one of our own, one of his siblings, could have had a brush with Freddie.
Oh.
Connor Newt, your brother works at the Publix. Freddie apparently visited to try a pub sub.
Apparently so, yeah. It's off Highway 100 over in Bellevue, my neck of the woods. Obviously, no one knows what Freddie looks like because no one's ever seen his face. But I don't know. I was curious if he had seen the legendary Freddie, and he said he couldn't tell just because no one's ever seen Freddie.
Now, does your brother work at the deli slash sandwich counter?
No, he is a checkout, but
okay.
You've got to go over to the checkout to buy the deli stuff.
Of course. Of course. By the way, Freddie tried a chicken tender sub from Publix. Great choice, Freddie.
Well, you're really treating Freddie as if he's a real guy now.
Yeah.
Like you weren't before. You were like not coming around. Now he's in Nashville. Like, oh, yeah, let's talk to Freddie.
Well, I was hoping that Connor's brother would have laid eyes on Freddie to disprove my theory that Freddie is a figment of everybody's imagination. He's AI. He's a plant.
I'm trying to think if, because I used to live in that area. Is there a hotel over there? Is it behind the Publix?
There's apartment complexes.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a hotel over there. I know there's a retirement home down the street. But I don't know. This is kind of fishy.
Yeah, it's right down the street from Ensworth.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
But there, that's why I said, didn't he say he was going back to the hotel or he decided to go back to the hotel?
I'll have to pull up.
There's no hotel in the area.
His post.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Very interesting.
But all I was hoping is that Connor's brother could prove to me that Freddy does indeed exist.
I can't do that. It's like Batman. No one knows who Batman is. They just know he exists.
Or like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Well, whether or not Freddy is real, he did make an excellent choice. I mean, who doesn't love a pub sub, am I right? Everybody out there? Right?
Publix is an underrated lunch destination.
They have the best cakes. The best cakes.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm missing out.
You are.
You live down the street from a Publix, Willie Donick.
Their cakes
do,
and their cupcakes.
There's other grocery stores that are like even closer, so I haven't branched out.
You should venture down to Publix.
Maybe I'll have to give it a shot.
Give it
a shot.
Try to slice cake.
Now, okay. Here's also something I found funny. Now, I don't know if this also German person is affiliated with Freddie, but he also happens to be in Nashville, so maybe they're traveling together. And he took a picture of the old Nissan Stadium from across the river, and said, quote, the Tennessee Titans NFL stadium right at the bank of Cumberland River has some aura, man. As a Titans fan, you can watch the game, cross the pedestrian bridge, and then celebrate the win on Broadway. A few notes. There haven't been many wins to celebrate in that stadium as of late. And I don't know if I would ever associate old Nissan Stadium with aura, at least recently. When it first opened, sure. Now,
nah, I don't know if it's ever really had a...
I think it had its aura, so to speak.
When you were on the field, Derek Mason.
But then they had it in subsequent years after that. It was brief, but they did have it. I think they, you know, this franchise has went on sort of this four-year sort of roller coaster. For 4 years, they'd be good, and then they come back down, and then for 4 years, they'd be good and come back down. It's been that way. So I still think they got the aura, man.
Brandon,
I don't know why y'all don't feel it.
Brandon and Hermitage, maybe because of all of the, you
the
know,
losing.
The losing and the lack of upkeep, perhaps. Yeah. Brandon and Hermitage says, Publix sushi is amazing. How do we feel about grocery store sushi?
Mm-mm.
Anybody?
Mm-mm.
I don't like sushi.
I can go with it.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
I can go with it occasionally.
In a pinch.
Yeah.
Nope.
In a pinch.
Change of pace, you know.
Nope.
Easy, grab and go.
Mm-mm.
What if you
the guy's, saw... The guy's making it. The guy's right there.
What if you saw the guy prepare it and then put it out there?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Not even...
That's like getting sushi at a steak shop. Nope. Don't want it.
Would you rather eat grocery store sushi or an Uncrustable?
There's new definitely flavor of jams coming out.
Definitely the sushi.
I think I will be leaning more sushi.
Oh, see?
Than Uncrustables. But still, no.
More disrespect for Uncrustables. I'm really excited about our guest at 4 o'clock. Aaron Schatz will be joining us. He is the Chief Analytics Officer of FTN Fantasy. The 2026 version of his Fantasy Almanac is now available. He is a man once referred to as the Bill James of football. He is certainly one of the founding fathers of football analytics. And I just want to give one, I want to share something from Aaron Schatz's message back to me when I asked if he would come on the show. And I told him, of course, look, when I try to get guests on the show, specifically football guests, I always make sure to highlight Derek Mason. Like, hey, Derek Mason's on the show. Remember Derek Mason? Aaron Schatz said, Derek is one of the all-time most underrated players in NFL history. It would be awesome to be on with him.
Boom.
That made me feel good.
And that's coming from Aaron Schatz. He knows a thing or two about the game.
Exactly. That makes
me
feel
good. So you
are
one of the all-time underrated players in the NFL, Derek Mason.
Call Kent. Let's go. Let's get Aaron Schatz on a little campaign action.
Hey, I like that, man. I'm going to take that. I am going to accept that, and I'm going to run with it.
So we are looking forward to having Aaron Schatz on at the top of the hour to help us break down the Titans, his FTN Fantasy Almanac, the 2026 version, just published within the past week, I think. It is a fantastic resource, whether you play fantasy football or not. You can certainly learn a thing or two. We're going to start today's show with the local professional hockey team. The Nashville Predators have announced their 2026-2027 schedule. A reminder, it is now 84 games in the regular season, not 82. So, thankfully, a shorter preseason. The Predators will open at home on October 1st against the Minnesota Wild. And here are some highlights of the schedule. 28 of their 42 home games will be played on either Tuesday or Saturday. 14 Tuesdays, 14 Saturdays. Now, here's my favorite part. The Predators will play, hold on, let me find the number, 13 afternoon home games. I love me some afternoon hockey. And the Predators will play 13 afternoon home games. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And now we're going to spend the rest of the hour predicting every single game on the Predators schedule, all 84. I'm kidding.
I think, why not? We do it for football. I think people would be intrigued because it's not just you giving a prediction. It's you giving the why you think. And
well, there are nearly five times as many hockey games as there are football games. So
we can hold them for a while. We can hold them for a while.
Yes, but the Predators open at home against Minnesota. It is a home-heavy month of October for the Predators. I believe 14 games total, 9 at Bridgestone Arena.
But they're broken up, which I like. I think one of the things that when they had the disastrous start a couple years ago. They played, I don't know, 7 of the first 8 at home or something like that. It just, it felt like you got into a rut early and there was no break of the routine. And so that obviously is going to be a huge, huge question is can they get off to a good start? Because that has been a big, big problem all 3 years of Andrew Burnett's tenure.
So you would hope that with a home-heavy schedule to start the season that the Predators can get off to a better start because, as Willie just said, one of the unfortunate hallmarks of Andrew Burnett's tenure as Predators coach, bad starts. They've been able to dig themselves out of it one time. But, of course, we'll see what happens this coming season. But when I saw specifically the afternoon games, in my time covering the Predators, they rarely played afternoon games. There are teams that play afternoon games every week. So the fact that the Predators are playing, again, what was it, 13 home afternoon games, I'm a big fan of that. I mean, it might not be as great for all of you because, you know, you might have to skip work or something. But I, selfishly, love all of the afternoon home games.
I'll give you a couple of more tidbits. This is courtesy of our buddy Max Hurst, as we call him.
High maintenance Hurst.
He points this out. This is good. Besides the opening night starting at home, and it starts about a week earlier than it did before with the 84 games, there are two less preseason games and two more regular season games. I think people like that in general.
Yes, I'm also glad that they have finally abolished the doubleheader preseason games against the Florida Panthers.
Yep, that's gone.
Yeah.
That is no more.
Thankfully.
Opening night, Halloween night, they will play at home. Black Friday, they play at home. The day after Christmas against the Red Wings. New Year's Day, they play at home. That's a rarity. In fact, that harkens me back to a great moment, trivia-wise, for the Predators. Mm-hmm. They scored the first NHL goal of the new millennium. Do you remember who scored it? You guys wouldn't.
What year was this?
Well, it was Y2K, so it was January 1st, 2000. Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't even. Yeah, I was here.
You were here, but you wouldn't.
I wouldn't pay. Yeah.
It no clue.
Sergei Krivokrasov.
Oh.
Who
was also the first All-Star.
Right,
in Predator
former
history.
NHL All-Star.
Yeah, he they took a player from every team back then, and he had a very good year the first year for the Predators. The next year, he didn't do as well, but he still he's in the record books. First goal of the millennium, Sergei Krivokrasov. And 5 of the last 6 games for the Predators are at home. So, you know, my first thought, though, I like breaking up the home and road in October. The Predators, because of the CMAs, tend to play a lot of road games in November, and that's the case again this year. So sometimes they get so many in October that it feels a little home heavy. So I like the 1 week at home, 1 week on the road, 1 week at home, 1 week on the road kind of flow to October for the Predators. They start with two of the Bears, right? Minnesota and Dallas, right off the bat, first two home games of the season against division rivals. So diving into the deep end, then a trip to Eastern Canada, and this is exactly the same as it went last year.
Yes.
Not in the same order, but Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa, October 6th through 10th. So that's the first road trip. And, of course, Toronto's a team in transition, a lot of new people. We know Montreal is becoming a strong team. Strong young team, a team to watch, and we know that Ottawa is pretty solid. A playoff team the last 2 years. Then Vegas, the intriguing San Jose Sharks, and St. Louis Blues, a home week, at Boston, at Pittsburgh, and then first game with the Avalanche, the Islanders with Matthew Schaefer, Washington, who looks like one of the more improved teams in the league on paper, and then Tampa. So I would say, overall, that is not a schedule of cream puffs in the month of October.
So
right?
But
October is going to be very important for Andrew Burnett.
So when you say, okay, with that being said, when we're talking he needs to get off to a better start, what is it, the first 10 games, the first 12 games, the first 20 games? What is that line?
The ballpark to me is around 15 games.
Okay, all right.
But I think, Adam, the month of October – what is that? 2, 5, 8, 10, 14 games in October. It's a busy month. So 14 in the month. I you don't have to go 12-2, but you just I wouldn't want to go 5-9 or something. Like 2 years ago, they went 5-10, recovered, had a great year. Last year, they went 6-12-4. They looked like they were spinning their wheels, going nowhere. They played much, much better after that. They played very well after that. It was too late. They dug themselves too big of a hole, even in a year where it didn't take that many points to make it to the playoffs. So what's the old saying? I think there's value to it. You can't win the season in October, but you can lose it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we'll see once the Predators hit the ice, their home opener, also their season opener, October 1st against the Minnesota Wild. Trevor on our text line says, the last time Nissan Stadium had aura is when Messi was bathing Lamine Yamal 19 years ago. Or was it the other way around? I don't know. I've seen this picture going around of Messi, a little Messi being bathed. I don't know. Maybe I missed it.
I really don't know what Freddie was thinking there, which makes me skeptical of Freddie. If he thinks there's – I mean, come on. Let's be real.
One texter says
– the existing stadium is there just to – get through these last whatever many games until they open the new stadium. It is not in good shape.
One texter says, I eat Publix sushi probably 50 times a year.
Whoa.
And have never been sick of it.
That's a
lot. The butcher is right there, and they prepare it in front of you. It's not gas station sushi, D-Mace.
Still not doing it.
So what's the hang-up? What's the hang-up?
It's coming from the grocery store. That's
okay, but the guy's there.
Don't care. That's not
you. You think the products are just not as good?
It's not the
chef. It's the products. Right.
That's like me going to a steak shop, and they have all these wonderful steaks, and I choose to go with that tuna over there. They don't specialize in tuna, so I'm not getting it. And tuna is not their top priority.
The hang up is
so you like high end sushi.
Exactly.
You want to go to a high end sushi.
I don't mind sushi at all.
How's the weather up there with your nose turned up all the way?
It feels pretty good up here. 615. Feels pretty good up here, man.
615-737-1025. I mean, do not hate on grocery store sushi.
I love grocery stores now.
I mean, who doesn't? 615-737-1025. We're going to stick with the Predators to open the show. Yesterday, we had a discussion about whether the Predators should be proactive about re-signing Luke Evangelista. There's another important question that the Predators are going to need to answer this season, and we will tackle that question coming up next. 615-737-1025. Stay updated on SCC Media Days with 102.5 The Game. SCC Media Days coverage will begin on Monday, and our coverage is brought to you by Shane Co., Tri-State Water, Power, and Air, and the Music City Kickoff Game featuring Ole Miss taking on Louisville, September 6th at Nissan Stadium. Get your tickets today at NashvilleSports.com. This Sunday, 102.5 The Game will have live coverage of the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race at the Nashville Super Speedway. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Big Shots in downtown Nashville. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. People leaping to the defense of Publix sushi and grocery store sushi in our text line, 615-737-1025. One texter says, my work is next to Publix, and I never miss a $5 Sushi Wednesday. Don't judge, LOL. Our friend Dustin in Hopkinsville says, I eat Kroger sushi all the time. It's usually me and my wife are really busy, and we both don't know what to get. It hits every time. I've never had a bad experience with Kroger sushi. It tastes great. You can see all the chefs making it, and they throw it out after it sits for too long. So, Derek, I think you need to broaden your horizons.
He's not hearing it.
Join us common folk.
No.
Have a bite. Mm-mm. This is what I'm tempted to do. I'm tempted.
My palate shall not taste Publix sushi.
I'm tempted to do this. I'm tempted to buy. I've told this story before on the air. When I was in college, a friend of mine was trying to impress his girlfriend. So on Valentine's Day, he promised a home-cooked meal. He went to Maggiano's Little Italy, purchased a meal, plated it as if he made it. And I think he got away with it too. So what I think I should do, and I'm going to have to do this a while from now so that Derek forgets about it, I'm going to have to, like, plate Publix sushi and be like, you know, my wife and I—
get this real high-end sushi place.
My wife and I, we went to this really great sushi place. We had some extras. I brought them in. Watch Derek eat it and go, ha, you ate public sushi.
Two things. One thing really with that is that I would definitely not eat it. Definitely.
Saying that in the nicest possible way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the first thing, first thing that kicks in my head is, we had this conversation before and Adam already said it. So I'll always be looking out at him.
I don't know. You've got so much going on in your life, it might slip through the cracks.
No, I ain't slipping.
It might slip through the cracks.
There's no cracks.
It's possible. It's possible. So yesterday, when we discussed the Predators, we talked about whether the Predators should be proactive about re-signing Luke Evangelista. He is a restricted free agent after next season. So next summer, he will be a restricted free agent. I shared his contract projection, a six-year deal with a cap hit of nearly $8 million, 7.9. And a lot of you kind of freaked out about that number. But as we explained yesterday, and as we have explained, this is the world we're living in now in the NHL. But there is another important decision that the Predators are going to have to make this season, and that's what to do with Brady Martin. Brady Martin, of course, the number 5 overall pick in the draft last year, made the Predators out of training camp, played 3 early season games, and then went back to his junior team. But as Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean notes, starting this coming season, AHL teams can roster at least one 19-year-old player as an exception to the 20-year-old minimum to play in the league. So that means Martin, for example, won't be forced to return to juniors if he doesn't stick with the Predators, because one could argue Brady Martin has probably outgrown playing in juniors. So it is an interesting question, Willie, because we know how important Brady Martin is to the future of the Nashville Predators. But the Predators also made enough moves this summer that they don't have to toss Brady Martin into the deep end to start his NHL career. But a lot hinges on, not this season specifically, but a lot hinges in terms of the future of the Predators on the development of Brady Martin. So now that they have the opportunity to send him to the American League, what should the Predators do with Brady Martin? How should they approach his development this season?
You made a good point that I think they have insulated the roster to where they have a lot of versatility. They've got some guys who can play center or wing, to where they could maneuver their lineup around if Brady Martin is ready to play some games. And at the same time, they can fill his spot if he is not ready. And I think the chances are that he's going to play games for the Predators and for the Admirals this year, presuming that this rule is a done deal. I don't know if it's officially been announced. I was asking about it during the development camp a little over a week ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. And everybody believes it will be a done deal. I just don't think it's been 100% announced yet, all the particulars. But I think the plan is for Brady Martin to play a lot of games for Milwaukee, and that is not a bad thing. And here's the biggest reason that I would like to see it, Adam. Brady Martin, one of the things that they like most about him is he is a tough, country-strong, hard-nosed player. That's the way he plays. He plays gritty. He plays hard. But he's not a 6'4 kid, right? He's 6'185". He's country-strong, and he dominates at his level. What he's got to do is learn how to play against the bigger, stronger, faster men of the NHL. That's hard to develop at the junior level. If he had to go back to his junior team and play against 19-year-olds again, then he's not going to really get a feel for how that is. He played 3 games for the Predators last year. He played all the preseason, and he played 3 playoff games for Milwaukee. So that's the only time he's been able to really go up against bigger, stronger guys that he's got to learn. If he's going to play with that style, which is a strength of his, you know, his body really is too young to be able to do that, to withstand the beating that you take. And number two, do it effectively at age 19. It's going to be different when he's 22, 23, I think. That's at least what they've envisioned for him. So I think a year at Milwaukee, or the majority of a year at Milwaukee, would be a really good thing for him.
Friend of the show, Scott Wheeler of The Athletic, recently published something he does, I think, at least a couple of times a year. He looks at the top 100 drafted NHL prospects. I think he does two lists, one with forwards and defensemen and one with goaltenders. So I'm looking at the list with forwards and defensemen. And the Predators have seven players on this top 100, which is tied for the second most in the NHL. The Blackhawks have eight. The Flames also have seven. And Wheeler breaks down the prospects by tiers. Now, unless I'm missing something, he doesn't exactly explain like what the tiers are. It just says tier one, tier two, tier three, etc. Wyatt Cullen, the Predators' recent first-round draft pick, is the top player for the Predators on this list, a tier two player, coming in at number 26. Brady Martin is a tier three player at number 35. Ryker Lee's also in tier three at number 44. In tier five, Matthew Wood, Igor Surin, Cameron Reed, and Tommy Blyle. And I really do think, we talked about just the importance of Brady Martin for the future of the Nashville Predators. I think one thing some Predators fans are going to gravitate towards as they look at this list, Porter Marton, who the Predators could have had at number five, is number three overall, a tier one player on this list, according to Scott Wheeler. Another player they could have had at number five overall, James Hagans, number 13 on this list, a tier two player. And we spent so much time talking about Marton and Hagans in the lead up to that draft. We really didn't start talking about Brady Martin until like really close to the draft. But I do think, rightly or wrongly, Martin's development is going to be judged against specifically Marton's, but also Hagans. And the fact that Marton has already played in the NHL and he's already been productive in the NHL is something that is working against Martin in the eyes of some Predators fans. So, as we know, Willie, it is, you have to be, I can't say this word, the G word. You've got to be the G word. Some of you may know what the G word is.
It's been banned.
It's been banned from the program.
Yes, it has.
You've got to be the G word in order to succeed in the NHL at 19 years old. But I do think, I do think that Brady Martin's development is such a crucial aspect of not just the future. I do think of this season. I would love to see him get more extended time in Nashville, as you saw last season when he was younger, of course. He played three games. They were all at home, and he was being incredibly sheltered. Part of the reason, correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, that the Predators did not play Brady Martin on the road in that early season trip to Eastern Canada was because they can't control the matchups, and they didn't want the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens and the Senators to pick on Brady Martin that early in his NHL career.
No question. And I think, it's rare for a guy at that age playing in the NHL to not be sheltered on a high level, which is, in some cases, the guys who are more likely to play at 19 are on teams that really aren't focused on winning at all, because who cares? You know, you're just giving them the experience. You're letting them sink or swim, and you're not as worried about the results. And you usually lose when you're doing that. The way the Predators appear to be going about it is they want to give themselves a chance to be competitive. Would you agree? Like that, the way they've shaped this roster, it's
yes.
not to tank by any stretch.
Right.
I think it's to try to improve on how they looked at the end of last year. And then, as Chris McFarland has said repeatedly, we'll wait and see how the season unfolds and go from there. So that's all the more reason to me. That's why I stress that Martin at 6'3", 180, it's hard for him to use one of his greatest attributes right now at the NHL level, because he can't play as physical and tough and play through people at this age yet. They think he will get there. But that's not going to probably show up until a couple years down the road, which is why I think I'm taking more of a long view in this. I'm not expecting him to start lighting the world on fire. And you're right. He's always, to a degree, I think over the years, as long as he turns into a good player, I don't think people are going to sweat it as much if he doesn't do quite as well as people that were drafted in front of him or behind him. But in the next few years, for sure, if Porter Marton is doing really well for the Flyers like he did, he jumped right in and did great. If he continues along that path, there will be a lot of what if and a lot of why. James Higgins hasn't really done it yet, but if he were to do it, sure. But I wouldn't worry about whether he's 35th or 25th or 15th at this point. It's really where is he going to be in 2 or 3 years.
Steven from Hendersonville with a scorcher. Steven says, Brady Martin is Austin Watson, only selected 5th overall. Barry Trotz was a disaster as a GM, and his failures will be felt for a decade. All right, hold on a minute. Time out. I think that's a little strong, Steven. But I have contended that Brady Martin felt like a quote-unquote safe pick. And this is what I mean by that. Brady Martin was not a reach at number 5 overall. If you go back and look at final mock drafts from the 2025 NHL draft, Brady Martin is being picked 5th, 6th, 7th, around that range. The Predators did not reach for Brady Martin. But it felt like the Predators really prioritized his intangibles. You know, the grit, the toughness, the work ethic, the compete level. And all of those things are important. It felt like the safe pick. Like Brady Martin, he's going to be a good player in the NHL. I think it was sort of the opposite. You tell me if I'm off here, Willie. Sort of the opposite with what the Predators did in this year's draft with Wyatt Cullen. Brady Martin probably has a higher floor than Wyatt Cullen, but Wyatt Cullen has I would assume, a higher ceiling skill-wise than Brady Martin. So I'm not going to say that Brady Martin is the next Austin Watson, who, by the way, was also a first-round pick. But I will always wonder if the Predators played it a little, quote-unquote, safe, taking Martin in number 5.
Austin Watson, I think, was the 18th. I just looked at his. He was the 18th overall pick. So it's a different tier of prospects. Austin Watson, you know, he didn't light the world on fire, but he was a good, solid role player for a long time. He played over 500 games in the league. So the expectation of that's not a bad pick at 18. The 5th pick has a higher, you hope has a much higher ceiling, expectation, etc. So this is what I would say about the whole skill thing and the safe thing. I do think it's a skill to be a leader, a tough two-way player. Even if you're not lighting up the scoreboard, you can be an extreme winning player. And that, I think, is what Barry Trotz was hanging his hat on. That was the big swing in his mind. That was the big trait of Brady Martin. Now, the hope is he's got enough skill to not be a guy that he's playing on your third or fourth line, right? He's got to score enough and have enough skill and offensive impact to be able to justify that role. And so I would keep that in mind going forward. He's supposed to be Sam Bennett, Mike Richards, you know, good, solid second line guys who are great two-way guys, maybe even a little bit of Ryan O'Reilly in there. And hopefully he's still got that high first-round pick skill set that does get noticed at times. But this will be a big year for him. Remember, he had a bad shoulder injury last year too. So he only played about 35, 40 games when you get down to it. That's not a whole lot. So his height was when he played very well at the World Juniors for Canada, and that's when he hurt his shoulder. So then he had to miss a lot of time after that. So he's playing catch-up a little bit. So once again, important year for Brady Martin, but I'm not looking for them to push him and rush him.
615-737-1025. How should the Predators handle Brady Martin this season? An incredibly important question for the future of the Predators. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to that, plus a really funny football analysis I saw earlier today. And I want to get Derek's opinion on it. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you out there that 1025 The Game and the Borchetta Bourbon present True American Racer, the Bobby Rahal story, tomorrow night at the Franklin Theater. Celebrate the career of an Indy 500 champion with rare footage and a live Q&A featuring racing legends. Get tickets now at franklintheater.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Aaron Schatz, Chiefs Analytics Officer for FTN Fantasy, will join us at the top of the hour. His annual FTN Football Almanac was just released. A lot of really interesting stuff in there. So, really looking forward to talking to Aaron Schatz in just about 15 minutes.
I'll give you one quick line. They always have a tagline.
Yes.
For each team for 2025 and 2026. The 2025 tagline is, guys, if you keep hitting the reset button, it's going to break. And the point they make is they've either changed the coach, the general manager, or the quarterback. At least one of the three in the last, what, 3 or 4 years straight. And then the 2026 tagline is, if they can't make it there, can they make it anywhere? Taking off on the New York line, the Frank Sinatra, taking the two New York coaches, the two former New York coaches, and what are you going to get? They are straightforward and critical of the history of Robert Sala and Brian Daboll.
So I saw this on my social media feed last night from Ryan Paganetti, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, a Super Bowl-winning NFL strategy and analytics coach who worked with the Eagles, Jaguars, and Raiders. And I chuckled to myself when I saw this, and I want Derek Mason's opinion on this. Paganetti writes, quote, "One of the NFL's funniest traditions is a new coach taking over a team and removing the fun from the locker room or facility. I found 20 reported fun removal cases since 2001. I like that phrase, fun removal cases. Since 2001, 20. Offseason, meaning the fun was removed in the offseason. 8 of 9 teams improved, going from a combined 49-96 the previous season to 74-71. In-season fun removal, 5 improved, 4 declined, 1 stayed even. The lesson, if you're a new coach, take away the ping pong table. If you're 3-5 in November, removing the distractions may be just another distraction."
I mean, I've seen, you know, I guess it just depends on your locker room. Because, you know, you have a new coach for a reason. But typically it's because you didn't do well the year before, or a lot of times it's you haven't done well consistently. So whatever was going on, they felt they had to go get someone. It's usually what? Someone contrary to the guy that they just fired. So they go out and get this new coach. What is his first thing? His first thing is to change everything in the locker room. Take away the old and replace it with the new. Coach Harbaugh came in. First day, he took everybody's locker. And it was like he put him in a bag, shook him up, and then threw him out on the floor and said, this is now your locker neighbor. It wasn't really like that, but his thing was, okay, it didn't work. It wasn't working the way it was. Now I'm going to do it another way. You're going to get to know the guy that you really never talked to. You're going to get to know him. Why? Because we all got to be connected. This is a chain. We all got to be connected. So you should know something about the person that's your locker mate. And it was a change. I don't know how much it helped or hurt, but I know we were a better team. But there were other things within, you know, what he was doing. He changed training camp a little bit. You know, as far as fun in a locker room, he didn't really, besides moving the locker rooms around, he didn't really touch that because he expected us as veterans to police the locker room. And we did it. There were times where we would be playing cornhole. And if it seemed like, hey, guys are losing focus, then we would have a meeting about it as a team. And we would remove it. That's what we did in our locker rooms. Jeff Fisher did things like that. Once he saw that maybe we were losing a little bit focus, you come in and you change things up a little bit just to get everybody focusing on the right things. Because sometimes in a long season, you can wander somewhat. And the coaches there or leaders are there to make sure you don't and keep everything in line. So I'm not disagreeing with it. I mean, some work, some don't, you know.
Here's the most important question. Does removing seed oils count as fun removal?
Mm. I don't know the fun level of seed oils.
It all depends.
I've never really tried to calculate that.
Some people like PB&J sandwiches, you know, the true ones.
We tried those terrible seed oil-less Uncrustables.
Well, that did take a little of your fun out of that. You were less fun the day you had to eat one of those.
By the way, I think those things are
they have their place, yes. Right? If you're spending that much time with the same group of people in the same place, and as long as it doesn't interfere with what you're doing, mm-hmm. I think there's a place for that stuff, whether it be a ping pong table, video game console, whatever it might be. And I would prefer it not to be video games. That's just me, but I know the video games are people can bond over that. Mm-hmm. It's about the bond.
Yes.
But it's got to be done at the right time, right place. You need the good leaders to say, okay, look, we're too into this. Mm-hmm. This isn't the time for it. Like most good teams, no.
Yeah.
But it could also build really good teams. It's part of team building to have that stuff. By the way, if they're getting rid of that, is there a website they put that stuff on if we want a good deal on a nice ping pong table?
That's a good question.
Secondhand?
And as fate would have it, Paganetti, within the past 30 minutes, has broken down the items removed.
Mm.
Ping pong / table tennis, 12 instances of being removed. Ping pong / table tennis, 5 instances of basketball hoops / Papa Shot, 4 of video games / consoles, 4 of dominoes, 2 of pool tables / billiards, 2 of shuffleboard, 2 of cornhole, 2 of cards / card tables, 2 of TVs, and 2 of music / stereos.
Yeah, that's a
stereos.
Lot.
Oh, man.
I mean, guys will have, you know, their little boom box, I guess.
Now, did you have teams where you were only supposed to play music on your headset just to avoid the, hey, who's got this music on? This is terrible. Because it's hard to win over a whole locker room.
Yeah, no, I mean, just be respectful with your music. That's all. Don't play it too loud. Because some guy, it's like, it's a big locker room and you think we hear, like everybody hears everything. But no, because it's almost like you got your four corners, and typically if you're playing music on the other side of the locker room, depending on how big the locker rooms are, usually big, if you're playing blasting it, yes, everybody's going to hear it. But if you have it up to where you can hear it, typically I can't hear it on the other side. So just be respectful. And some guys do walk around with headphones on.
I've seen coaches say, headphones only. I just want to not have it be a thing because – I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I have seen locker rooms where one or two guys mm-hmm. try to dominate. They bring their music. They play it loud. Mm-hmm. They really don't care about the group. They're just, and then somebody's got to go and say, dude, we've heard your music for like 2 straight weeks. Not everybody likes this. Mm-hmm. Can we shake it up? Like, you need somebody to bring everybody together.
That's why everybody gets to bring their own little radio. If they want to have a radio in a locker, some guys, a lot of times you really don't hear the music unless we're getting ready to go out for practice, which is okay, cool. Or when we come back in from practice, you hear music blaring and guys don't mind because we're decompressing in a sense, you know. Or when you're going out, I got to get hype. I got to get in the zone.
Yeah.
So typically, guys don't, again, as long as it's respectful, you know, you're not blasting.
And bring everybody in. Try to bring the group in. And the bigger the group, the harder it is to probably get everybody involved. That's why you have to say, like, all right, D-line, you got it today, like we do here on DVD. So certain groups have the music for a different day, probably.
But you would be amazed at how many guys, you know, they bring their radio or something in the locker room. I don't know how it is now, but I'm sure it's sort of identical. Where they're aware of their locker room, like everybody in their locker room. So they try to play music. You know, they'll play their music, but then they'll throw some songs in there for like
They're trying to pull people in.
Exactly.
That's what you want.
You know, they just don't, hey, man, I'm not playing your music at all. At least the locker rooms I've been in. I don't know how it is in other locker rooms.
One texter says, card tables, I'm sorry, are NFL offensive linemen unwinding with a relaxing game of gin rummy?
They usually, I'm telling you, they usually play in between. It's either, you don't play cards right before we're going out because there's too much going on. During lunch, card playing, during lunch, or after we come out, we've come with, finished with our meetings. And sometimes certain guys don't have meetings because they had all theirs during the morning. They would be sitting at the table playing cards because it's like, okay, again, I'm decompressing. I've taken care of all of my obligations. I'm going to decompress for a minute because they know when they go home, they got to look at the playbook again and they got to, you know, be around the family and do stuff like that. So,
615-737-1025. I am wondering if seed oils will make this list a year from now. Robert Saleh gets rid of all of the seed oils, which I think are fun because they're tasty, and the Titans improve. So I think we should consider seed oils as part of this, depending on how the season goes. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, really excited about this, Aaron Schatz of FTN Fantasy. If you've ever read a story about football that includes DVOA, well, guess what? Aaron Schatz created DVOA. He is a founding father of football analytics, and we will talk to him about the Tennessee Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino. Celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.